This is GamesAtWork.biz with your hosts, Michael Martin and Michael Rowe.
This is episode 13, Programming for the Brain.
Hello, this is Michael Martin coming to you for another edition of GamesAtWork.biz, and I am absolutely delighted to have with me here today over the phone and in a parking lot, actually, my very good friend, Phaedra Boynadira. So, Phaedra, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you kindly, Michael. It is always a pleasure to do podcasting with you.
I do so love it. And unfortunately, Michael is not available today, but we wanted to do something fun and something short and something a little light. And what you and I were talking about just before we got started was talking about maybe some of our favorite books that relate to game design, gameplay, and you know, things that lend themselves well to thinking about games and games at work. So we've been talking quite a bit about the Reality is Broken book here on the recent couple of podcast episodes. What would you say would be one of your favorite books, Phaedra?
The first one that comes to mind is Ender's Game. And this is a book that was written in the 80s by Orson Scott Card, who's actually an author that lives out in Greensboro. And it's actually required reading now for multiple branches of the military. And if you're into gaming, if you're into serious games, if you're into simulation, this absolutely has to be on your must-read list. It's a science fiction and fantasy book about, it was set in the future, about a young boy who becomes the world's greatest military commander by playing games. But that's actually not what's the most interesting thing about the book, in my opinion. I don't want to give too much away because there's plenty of spoilers that could potentially ruin this. But in essence, unbeknownst to him, as a byproduct of his gameplay, he's directly affecting his environment. This, every time I give a presentation about serious games, especially to any agency within the DoD, I regularly get asked if I have read this book. And of course, it's one of my all-time favorites. I think that the art of the possible regarding serious games is certainly defined within this book. The idea of having games that host real data and real processes that can actually directly affect your environment well beyond skills training, that is the future. That is where gaming is going. So I think this absolutely has to be on your reading list because it is prophetic, prophetic, prophetic.
Well, and it has been on my reading list, too. You recommended it to me some time ago for all the same reasons. I have read it, and I feel the same way. You know, to me, it's the confluence of analytics and real-world data with a simulation environment that you can play around with. And just like in any other game, you know, the gloves are off. You can try anything. And if you fail in the game, that's fine. You press restart, and you try again.
Agreed.
I love that game. That book. I really, really enjoyed it. One of the ones that sprung to mind to me when I was thinking about this topic was one that I've read some time ago. Is Ian Bogost and his book on persuasive games. And I've brought that up on various podcasts before too, just because he does, I think, such an excellent job of highlighting the points that you're also bringing up too. A game is not just about learning something; it can be about making a point. It can be about a political, sarcastic point, even if you want it to be that way. And it can be ways of it's another overall method of communication and getting people to a similar frame and state of mind. I've often thought that books are programming for the brain, and as you read them, and as you decide whether you agree or not with what is written, you're inserting code, if you will, into your own being and then assimilating those thoughts and ideas as part of who you are into the future.
I really like that metaphor. I think that's great. Yeah, I too am a big fan of Ian Bogost, and I think it was several months ago there was an article in Wired magazine about his game Cow Clicker.
Oh yeah, yeah.
That was hilarious. For those who haven't read that article, it's really well done. Ian is a master at creating satire games to underscore points, and the Cow Clicker game was really an interesting story on a spoof off of Farmville and what is it that motivates people to play different kinds of games. So I agree. He's definitely a fun read.
Yeah, and we'll have to dig up that Cow Clicker article. I know we talked about that when it came out, and it was just very funny because he created it was a Facebook game where the game was you click on a cow.
And
people got hooked on it, and they're like, oh my God, I had to have it. And then he stopped the game, and all these players got really horribly upset.
Isn't that funny? It takes so little sometimes.
And he wasn't doing it to monetize anything, but you know, they're actually, you know, there are people who wanted to pay him to continue to click on the cow.
One of the other books that comes to mind for me. Now, you mentioned games in general. This isn't video games per se. There's a game about the world of chess, which I really, really enjoyed. It was called The Eight, and it was an international bestseller by an author called Catherine Neville. And it spans centuries of history, and it talks about the world of chess. And it sounds dry, but I'm telling you, it was absolutely engrossing. Basically talking about, you know, how the game of chess and the strategies within chess are mirrored within everyday life. Just also a fascinating read.
That's something I'll have to take a look at. I'm a happy chess player. And I guess one of the things that games certainly do is they define rules that are hard and fast. And as you start to explore the world based upon those rules, you bump across boundaries that you may have not expected or encountered before. Or in some cases, you find a new solution because the rule guides you in a direction that you might not have thought about doing otherwise. So another interesting angle of how something like chess might work in this regard. You know, looking at a list of some other people's favorite books on games and gaming and the like, one that just struck me is like, this is really strange. It was J.R.R. Tolkien's On Fairy Stories. And I hadn't read that particular book for a long time. I think I have read it at one point or another. But the notion there was on textual immersion. So, you know, the way that J.R.R. Tolkien painted the world of Middle Earth in his stories, The Hobbit, The Return of the King, Silmarillion, etc., it can be very important to how you describe game worlds as well and get the most out of them. So not much more commentary there. It was just on a list of someone's favorite books on games.
I'll have to check that out. I've never read that either.
So it's a very short session we're doing here today. Is there anything in your day-to-day activities, Phaedra, in the sort of things that you're doing around Serious Games and the benefits that are being brought to business that you might want to share with our listeners here today before we wrap?
I'm writing a book. I'm super excited about it. It's in a major editing mode, but it's in essence talking about the space of serious games, at least from the vantage point that I'm seeing, and how it can be used to directly affect environments. I'm working on a chapter right now that talks about ethics in serious games, which I am convinced is going to be a major topic of discussion in the coming years, mm-hmm. as these games get more and more and more sophisticated. So I'm excited to see that completed and finished and out the door.
That is so awesome. Boy, did we line that one up well here.
you did. I didn't even pay you or anything.
Do you have a working title for this book?
Oh, that's still a work in progress. You know, I'm terrible with coming up with names for stuff. So maybe you and I can work on that after the show. I'd love advice.
Awesome. Well, I'd be happy to do that. All right. Well, I think for today, this was a good couple of things to give our listeners something to read and chew and think about. So let me say thank you very much for pulling off to the side of the road and doing a quick podcast with us today, Phaedra.
My pleasure. Thank you for the invite. It's always fun to do this with you.
Oh, certainly. And we'll do this again very soon. All right. Well, with that, thanks, everyone, and have a great day.
You've been listening to GamesAtWork.biz, the podcast about gaming technology. We are part of the Blueberry Podcasting Network, and you can follow us at Twitter at GamesAtWork_BIZ. We'd like to thank the guys at Zebes Systems for their rocking version of the Moon Patrol game theme.